This is a HeadGum Original.
Previously on the HeadGum Podcast.
Jay, which is the piece that got stuck in your ass in fifth grade? Was that the reed or the plastic part? Because you said you had the situation where you said you tried to blow the saxophone with your ass and I forget if it was the reed. What? No, it wasn't reed. It was a different word. Would you say the plastic part was called Rika?
No.
It was behind Jake's sphincter.
And I never put a sax in my ass in grade school. Okay,
it was in high school.
That didn't happen to me. It was in college. It was when I was pledging a frat.
I said to hell with sax, and I put it in my axe.
Kiss my sass. Holy shit, it's beautiful.
The reed is wet. The day is right. Jake twerking.
Careless
You're
whisper.
Not pledging a frat. You didn't get a bid anywhere.
And so it continues.
All right, welcome to another edition of the HeadGum Podcast.
Oh my god.
What's that?
Why would you use that?
Use what? I just found like a jingle.
That's... I don't want to expose myself, but that is from, you know, the hub.
What's the hub, Johnny?
Huge bomb drop. I cornered him and I fucking got him. Hook, line, sinker. Johnny watches internet pornography. This is hilarious, Danny.
Yeah, it's not really like, a bad thing.
Really?
No.
I've been listening to this podcast. It's been getting nastier every week. Like, name the show Real Sex.
That must be why listenership is skyrocketing.
Right.
It coincides. Amir coincides with the horniness of quarantine, right? The corniness of it all. Danny, you're married, so you don't understand the plight of Johnny, Marty, and I.
Don't put your plight on me.
I haven't gotten into some strange in the better part of a semester.
Don't you dare do that.
All right. Easy. We don't know what goes on beyond the doors of, what is it?
God, you have to bleep that out every time.
What's new with you guys? You got all three of you, but especially Marty, haven't been on the show for a long time. I think Johnny's the most recent. Sellers, you're exactly right. The last time we came on, I did play...
Pipes,
yeah. Laying the pipe in a way.
What?
Marty, I think it's been like since September, right?
Yeah, I don't like doing this. You basically beg me, you're texting me all the time, all hours of the night. I feel like it's my cameras going off, my security cameras, and just one is being a text from you being like, hey, sign up on this sign-up sheet.
I took a pickup artistry class, and they said desperation is the key to any woman's...
It should be the new sax.
Right. This is a HeadGum Podcast. Doom, doom, doom.
Should we be posting our content to the hub?
That would be crazy.
We should, yeah, post the Jake and Amir live show to Orange YouTube. Danny, what's new with you?
I'm out here. You know what's really extremely wild? Last night, I realized my lease is up 1 month sooner than I thought. It's up.
You're homeless.
My lease is up end of May rather than end of June. So, I mean, it's still kind of the same timeline, but your boy is scrambling.
Oh, my God.
Wait, how much more time do you have?
2.5 months. I mean, yeah.
You're supposed to move to L.A.
Yeah, bro, I'm out here. Yeah, this is going to be a very stressful week.
Biden is also speeding up everything, right? So it should be safe in 2.5 months. Maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe the timelines, the stars will align for you.
I hope so. Your boy needs to get a vaccine. So, yeah, that's very new. Less than 24 hours. I mean, it's actually a year old. I just didn't check the damn lease until last night.
In Chicago, do leases not go month to month after the end of the year? Because in LA, I feel like that's what most
people do. You probably
could
technically do it. And if you needed to, we could. It's just,
yeah.
I think the thought of having a little bit more time is always great, but it's also less money, so we'll figure it out.
I'm sure you'll find a good spot. I feel like nobody's moving in LA, so you're probably going to get a deal on like a good place, I think.
One would hope so. I don't know if Zillow agrees, but
Well, you are looking, we should say you're looking in like the Beverly Glen, Bel Air area.
Yeah.
Inventory is low there. Price is high.
So exactly. Far from where the new office might be.
I was talking to somebody recently. They said it's a renter's market, whatever that meant to them. So I don't know. It should be okay for you.
Well, again, it doesn't matter what the market is doing. It's always a seller's market.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Johnny, Burlington, New Jersey? Or do you just live near Burlington?
No, I live in Burlington. Good old Burlington.
Are you going to move to New York when things calm down or no?
Absolutely. And I'm willing to move before things calm down. I was willing to move at the peak of everything. I just need to get out
the
of here.
The issue being saving cash? Or
no, it's like there's just nothing to do here. And I just want to go to the club, you know? I'm willing to go to Florida if it comes down to it. Just kind of no
matter.
Are
you a club
it.
Guy, Johnny?
Club rat.
Oh, I straight up love the club. I love the club.
Holy shit.
I could see Johnny like in a nice silk button down with like a Heineken in his hand just turning up. That's a tight. I didn't know this about you, Johnny.
I'm a wild child of the night. I'm a saint in the streets, a freak in the sheets.
Oh. Johnny.
What are you in the club?
Oh, in the club, I'm also
a bartender.
Yeah, just a bartender.
that Heineken is three quarters empty. And it's in a plastic tray.
What's your favorite club, Johnny? Where do you go? Where are you known to go? I don't want to dox you. And I'll bleep it out if you want, but I'd love to know.
There's this one club in Brooklyn. It's called Nowadays. It's basically just like they play is like deep house and like techno. Oh, I just love like go in there and just hang around people who are off like ecstasy and I'm just like completely sober or whatever. It's nice. It's nice to be around those people. They're all so nice.
Bleep that part out. I want our company to sound cool. No, Johnny, you should know this about me. I also like dancing and going to loud music venues.
I'm willing to like meet you halfway right now if you're willing.
Wyoming?
To
St. Louis, gateway to the West.
Absolutely.
Her Dayton, Ohio has a great club scene.
I mean, what's open in the middle? I guess everything in the middle of the country is probably open, huh?
Probably Kansas City. Strong Kansas City.
Get some ribs.
Texas, I know, has no masks now. So that's a safe option.
Marty, you tried to get into Berghain and were rejected, right?
That's correct.
The famous Berlin club.
Yeah, that's correct. But you can also bleep that out.
It's you doing ADR for me being like, and I got into Berghain.
It was really fun.
What was that experience like?
So it was me and Amir. Jake and Amir must have done a show in Europe somewhere. And typically when they did abroad shows, we would then as a group go on a mini vacation afterwards near wherever it was. And this one, I think they did one in the UK. And then so we did Germany afterwards for a week. I think Jake and his brother were both there, but they left early and Amir and I stayed longer. So one of these nights that it was just Amir and I still there, he had gotten recognized on the street by some group of people there. So we like kind of merged groups with them. And then they were German and spoke German. And we're like, let's go to Berghain after we've been drinking for a while. And we were like, yeah, let's go to Berghain. It's going to be funny. It's going to be fun. And so we walk up there. And typically, I guess there's like 5 hour long lines to get in. There was no Jesus. One in line. Like I'm telling you, there was one group of people, of five people in front of us. Got straight in. So we're like walking, zigzagging through the ropes, right? Like this long thing that they're always prepped for having lots of people in front. The entire time we're laughing, we're cheesing, and we get up to the front and we split up into two pairs. Like it'll be easier to get in two groups. Obviously they saw us doing this the entire time. So it's like no secret of process. So like me and this one girl, we go up to the front, she speaks German, and the guy looks straight at me in the eyes, straight in the eyes. The guy's, I think his name is Sven. He's probably like the most famous bouncer in the world. He goes, you will not get in tonight. And walk away. That was it.
Damn.
That was it. And then I'm walking
away. Where'd you
go
from there?
I'm walking away. And then I hear him repeat the exact same phrase to Amir, who's behind me. And he walks away. And then we just start laughing really, really hard. And I don't even know. I think we went to another club or something. That was easier to get to. I was fully rejected. And I have no idea what happens in there.
I've never heard of this. What is this? A German club? Is this famous?
It's in Berlin.
It's like the most exclusive club in the world. It's like five stories, very secretive. No one understands how you get in or how you don't. Although I have read that if you speak English at all online, you don't get in.
Yeah,
something.
Oh, we were only speaking English. And also you have to wear all black. And I was wearing pastel colors. Like I was wearing a patchwork like pastel shirt that I thought was really cool back in the day. And on top of that, it was just like, it was so obvious that we had been drinking a lot before that. And they don't want drunk people in there. Because it's an experience that lasts truly a lifetime if you want it to. The rumors are that you go in there and that you are there for 3 days and you don't even know you were there for 3 days because there's so much going on all these different floors and different experiences that you can just get swept away for days at a time and there's no windows. So then you come out and it's 3 days later and your taxes are due and you're like, what the hell happened?
So every time you go, it is April 12th.
That's right. It's 3 days before taxes are due.
Danny, trouble in paradise or how's the marriage?
Well, after realizing I'm going to be homeless, our marriage is on the rocks for sure. Nah, we're straight, bro. What's up with you? I feel like I listen to this podcast and I get on it. I don't ask you. Are you a club guy, Jeff? Are you?
Damn, Daniel, back at it again with the white man.
Do you know that was the first thing that Jeff ever said to me when I met him? That line right there was the first.
Like at a job interview?
It was a thing that Jake and Amir were saying a lot at the time. And it was like, so Jeff like must have heard it in passing. But it was the first thing he ever said to me, I think, when he was in the office.
Well, because you were wearing white Vans.
Well, that too. But like, you didn't have to do that. You'd have to rip it from the meme.
I'm doing well. I'm not like a club guy. Like I won't go to like, you won't cash me at One Oak. But I do like a dancing bar, you know, like a dive that has a floor, and I'll be floored because I'll have, you know, well whiskey and a PBR, and they'll have to give me CPR because I'm like getting down on the floor, getting nasty, body rolls, cinnamon rolls.
What's your go-to, like if you got, you know, one of those little jukebox apps and it's like, hey, Jeff, go play like two songs. What's your
go-to? Motown. Fill you up, obviously.
Empty bars every time.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
No, I love this because the Shortstop used to have Motown Mondays in Echo Park. Mm. That was fun. It just sucked that it's a Monday. But yeah, like disco and Motown is like my shit because it's fun to dance to.
Are you 58? Motown.
Jeff is the oldest 22-year-old I know by far.
23-year-old.
Goodness, you had a birthday?
Yeah, and you didn't come. It was a Zoom thing. Danny was there. Johnny was there. Ferris, okay. Just put a sax. I'm going to take a walk.
All right, I'm sorry I didn't go. I really am. That's a bummer.
This is the pipe, Danny. This is the pipe from me in high school, sir.
From high school, sir.
Did you know we're doing, I don't know if I'm supposed to announce this or not, but and if I'm not supposed to, I'll cut it out, but we're doing merch for the show. And in high school, sir, is on one of the shirts.
I need one of those shirts, please.
Well, I'm not in charge of it, but Marika will send you one.
Thank you so much.
Marty, now's your time to come up with a catchphrase to be on a shirt.
You're fired.
I mean, there's so many from when we used to do those dumb videos in the office all the time. There's so many of those characters. Sleeping with the Fishes is one. Waka Waka is probably the most. Well, I don't know if Waka Waka is the one, but it's probably up there. Notoriously my parents being divorced, there's probably a shirt there somewhere. I don't know. Marika's good at this stuff.
At the HeadGum Live in Chicago, somebody brought a fully printed out Kinko's poster of Marty going like this. And it's they wanted him to sign it. And what's the catchphrase? Oh, sleeping with the Fishes. Yeah. And so Marty signed it like that and then took a photo with this like HeadGum.
It was like a 3-foot poster. It was huge. He had it rolled up like in his pant leg to sneak it in or something. I don't know what
it was.
It was
a billboard.
He smuggled a billboard in.
Danny, how's stand? I think I saw on your Instagram story you were at a show or did a show.
Yeah, I just did an open mic. I have a show next week. I guess when this comes out, it'll have been 2 days ago. Comedy's back.
Holy shit. You heard it here first. Two questions. One, how was your first show back? Like, how did it feel? And then two, was it all new material that you've been writing in quarantine or just kind of like new venues? So the same jokes.
I mean, I'm good at comedy. So the set went fantastic. first of all, and most of it was
That's
brand.
That's a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Forget shirts.
Division I athletes don't fail. Right?
Sir, yeah, exactly.
You got two D1. Oh, by the way,
oh my,
a little props
God.
From the left hand side of the screen, please. We have two Division I athletes on the line.
I want Danny to show up to the HeadGum LA office the first day it opens and just go like this.
With the waist up, spitting
with,
water
the WWE.
Out. That's the Triple H.
yeah, you clearly just got out of the shower.
Why's your face wet, Danny?
Oh, it'll be so nice to have an office again, huh?
Yeah, so Danny was a Division I athlete in college.
What?
What's that?
Just, you can say both our names.
Danny, wait, you were tracking field, right?
Or no? No, football.
Football. That's what I meant to say.
No, it's not.
That's a real sport.
That's true. Yeah. Football is a real sport. Football is, that's D1. If you're D1 football, that means you have some fucking talent. That means scouts wanted you.
I mean, there's a lot of D1 sports. They're all equally as hard to do.
Oh, like basketball for sure.
Sure, that's another
baseball
one.
To a certain extent.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, like track and field, cross country, indoor track.
What are you talking about?
Damn it, Johnny.
That was funny.
Just cut it out.
No, but so Danny, is it mostly new material? Like, have you been writing during quarantine or not?
Just started. Well, I was doing a show during the summer in the park, Parallel Park, Chicago, mm-hmm. Very fire. And that, I stopped that in October when Corona came back. And then really wasn't writing up until maybe a couple weeks ago started. You got to, with stand-up, you have to like experience stuff. And all I'm experiencing is dog walks and Zoom calls. So it's like, I don't know. But I'm back. I feel like I'm outside a little bit more.
Well, let's do this. Let's, I mean, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, but like come up with a bit.
That's definitely putting him on the spot. But also.
How so?
What do you mean? You're asking him to do a bit.
Danny's good at comedy, Marty.
No, I believe
that.
You
heard it from the fucking, yeah.
From one Division I athlete to another, I understand that we're perfect. Exactly. Like, when we do something, we do it well, right? That's what makes us champions. Did you realize that
you were a champion in their eyes? Did you ever win a championship, Mark?
Not me personally, but I mean, that's what makes champions.
We have the makeup of championship.
Don't take his side in this, Danny.
Of what it takes to be a champion.
You're a D1 athlete. You should be put on the pedestal. Marty sort of ran errands. He was a courier.
Made errands.
I was doing Uber on the track.
Right. Take this baton real quick.
Johnny, what's wrong? You look like you just got scammed.
I'm actually having the time of my life. But speaking of scams, I did my taxes with a CPA for the first time ever. It made me feel like an adult. But I realized... Did you that since right now, as it stands, I don't owe anything to the federal government, but my friends are starting to tell me that they owe to the federal government. So now I'm thinking that the IRS is going to knock down my door any minute now and basically
audit you. Yeah.
Audit me. So now I'm really nervous about that.
Have you made money this year?
Oh, absolutely.
You owe money to the government.
I definitely do.
No, you've been paying that money on a regular basis. You don't owe anything more if you've been paying your taxes correctly all year. All
right. You know what I learned? I learned that it's not good to owe money. Like getting tax returns. I'm sorry, not owe, but getting a tax return isn't necessarily a good thing. Like you should want a little amount of a return as possible.
You want no return because that means that you kept more of your money, invested that money, not spent it on like, I don't know.
Welcome to Executive Decisions. Welcome to Executive Decisions. Marty, you are the CEO of HeadGum, right?
Co-founder, CEO, yeah.
I think there's a certain responsibility that comes with being a CEO, if I'm not mistaken.
There's a lot.
What's that?
There's a lot of responsibility.
Okay. That's only, you're only proving my point further. The position requires restraint.
I don't like where this is going.
It requires patience.
Sure.
And to a lesser degree, talent, luckily. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run you through a couple scenarios, Marty, and you just say how you would go about making an executive decision. Because as an executive, every decision you make is executive. And I think Danny would not only back me up, but he would like say it for me. So, Danny?
Yeah, I mean, you're the... Yeah. I agree. Sorry, I wasn't listening. You started talking, I completely stopped listening. Sorry.
All right. So here we go. This is the name. It's not even a game. It's just talking points. And Johnny, Danny, feel free to chime in with what you would do if you were the CEO of the company. But Marty, I made this whole thing for you. All right. You catch Johnny sneaking into the office for a late night romp. What's your executive decision?
What do you mean? What's a romp?
Johnny, can you fill him in? Tell him what you're going to do.
Yeah, a romp is an encounter of the variety that is sexual. Nice.
Johnny, you can't do that.
So the decision is just scold him.
Did I just scold Johnny? I just asked him not to do it.
I don't know. It sounded pretty out of line.
Johnny and I also don't work in the same office.
Okay, so in this scenario, he's visiting for like the anniversary party or something. I don't know.
It just feels like a weird scenario. I don't know why. It seems far-fetched.
Right, forget it. All right, you hear from a colleague that Danny's leaking insider information to Forever Dog.
That's part of our Trojan horse idea. I applaud him, exactly. Promote him, remove you from the equation, and all of a sudden you're working at Forever Dog.
Danny the dumbass coming 2022.
Danny, I can't wait to do sketches with your ass if you'll have you for the company. You don't have to like come over, which I know is your nightmare scenario.
Yeah, I won't come over. Yeah, definitely.
what if we end up living really close? Like, what if you end up living in Echo Park?
There's zero chance I ever let you know where I live.
If there's one thing he's learned from this radio show, it's that you leak. You're the leak.
Right.
Leaking the private sensitive information to the masses.
All right.
In fact, you're the one that romped in the office too. These are all just scenarios you want to know you can get away with.
You've made your point. Here we go. Before we move on, we're still playing executive decisions. I just need to let you guys know Harry Styles' current address.
You're Googling it?
No, I have it. I just need to pull up the doc.
What do you mean?
Have a doc of this?
What?
You said you're pulling up a doc. What doc?
Talk amongst yourselves. I don't know why it always has to flow through me.
You're the host of the show, and you just said something. In fact, right. You made us wait for the information. So yeah, we're asking
Ferris
about it.
Ferris, cut this out. Ferris, cut this.
Ferris,
whole
keep
thing
this out. In. Executive decision.
Exactly. Oh, shit.
It's in Laurel Canyon. I don't know what else to say, Dan.
Do you want me to move nut close to him, or what's the?
That would be great. I think that Laurel Canyon would serve you well because not only is it conducive to creativity like comedy, which you're already good at, so the canyon's only going to fucking amplify that talent, man. But I can't help but feel like you, Olivia Wilde, Olivia Colman, and Harry Styles might be a quarantine pod with Jamal, obviously.
Thank you.
It's incredible how much you talk about other neighborhoods besides the one you live in as them all being the best. And you, right? And by the way, you've moved 13 times since I've known you, never to any of these neighborhoods.
Well, Laurel Canyon is prohibitively expensive, even compared to where you and I live. All right, we're back to executive decisions. Pyle wants to take HeadGum public, but Marty, you're sort of pissed at him for not coming to your birthday.
I still am.
That was years ago. This was like a new scenario because I thought you would have moved on from 2017, but yeah. So what do you do? What's the executive decision? Do you block his move? Or do you kind of make the financially smart decision?
I have another birthday party. Yeah. I give him another opportunity.
Does he show up?
If he wants this bish to go public, he'll be at my B-day.
Bish.
And he'll bring something nice.
You're so small.
I'm 6'2".
But you're 6'3".
I carry myself well.
I meant metaphysically.
How tall are you, Jeff?
I'm 6'1".
Really?
No, you're not.
You seem shorter.
Yeah, you're definitely shorter. you carry yourself shorter than that, too.
Yeah.
Danny's never seen me standing is the issue.
But I have.
I'm always huddled over in a closet.
You don't have to know that you're a short guy.
Yeah.
This backfired. The HeadGum 6-year anniversary party, it turns out to be possible to have. Sorry.
August?
Yeah, so the HeadGum 6-year anniversary party turns out to be possible this year, but only if you can't go, Marty. What's the executive decision?
No party. That's easy.
That's what I was worried about, yeah.
There is no party without Marty. It's that simple. Mm.
Johnny and Danny, what about you guys? So, like, basically, this wouldn't be an executive decision, but just, like, there's some fucked up scenario. The party's only possible if you don't show up. What would you guys do?
In past lives, partying or not partying with coworkers is a pretty fantastic idea. So I don't know what I'm missing. I guess I'll put it like that.
Johnny?
I felt like a little betrayed because, I don't know, I kind of dedicated my 40 hours of every week to helping out this company and helping it grow. So to not be invited feels like a low blow. And I think from that point, I would move to Forever Dog.
That makes sense.
How much does that show? Do we talk about them on every episode? Like, what's going on with this show?
This is the first time we've mentioned Forever Dog. Right. Usually Earwolf is the butt of the joke.
The target.
Yeah.
They're too corporate now.
Danny, the parties are fun. You'll enjoy it.
But you can't go.
All right. What about this? OJ Simpson approaches the network about doing a show. What's the executive decision? It would do numbers, but he...
I think, does he not have a podcast?
I don't think he does. He has an ankle bracelet.
He has the vaccine. An ankle bracelet and the vaccine.
I think he qualified it because even though he's only under house arrest, he's still technically in prison.
Is he under house arrest even?
Yeah. He's like in a really cushy mansion somewhere in LA.
That's kind of tight, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we're all kind of under house arrest to a certain extent.
Nice.
What's the executive decision, Marty? You're the CEO. You chose to be in this position. You have to make these tough decisions.
No, we're about elevating voices that we care about. His isn't a voice that I care about.
Maybe you. I care about his voice.
Johnny, once you get enough experience, once you're about forever, dog, you're the executive over there. You can start making some decisions.
All right. You hire an 18-year-old dumbass to make little comedy shorts, and he just sort of never leaves. What's the executive decision?
Oh my God. Give him a podcast called the Headgum Podcast, I guess. I don't make all these decisions, right? Like, we have creative people that do that, so.
This has been Executive Decisions.
Did you really start with us when you were 18 years old?
Yeah, I was 18.
My God. That's so young. And to think it's been 5 years, that's insane. It's far too long. How have you made it this long? How have you made it this long?
Do you come here often?
You shouldn't be here anymore.
Hey, club.
What's your name? You want something to drink?
Johnny approaches with like a tray of like full bottles of Cristal.
Is that right, Motown?
This is the Price of Right. You guys know The Price is Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
It's not some esoteric show. This is one of the most popular game shows.
This is like The Price is Right, but it's The Price of Right. W-R-I-G-H-T. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to list...
Some brothers.
I'm gonna list celebrities, right?
All right.
And you're gonna guess their net worth, Danny. Everybody. I don't know why I just pointed that at
you. It's because Danny's good at it.
All right, Bonnie Wright.
All right. First of all, the worst person to ask about like random like rich white people. I don't know who these people are, to be completely honest with you.
I don't know who it is.
This person played Ginny Weasley in Harry Potter.
Oh yeah.
Got it. Okay. I say a strong six.
Before you answer, we should say that this is all for cash. This is $20 for every right answer, $20 owed to me for every wrong answer.
A strong 7 million.
You owe me $20.
What's the number?
I'll answer. I'll say 600,000.
What do you think this is, Johnny? You think Ginny Weasley only has six figures? You're shitting yourself if Bonnie doesn't at least have a couple figures.
I'm sorry.
7 to 8.
I'm sorry.
Marty. Thoughts?
How many Harry Potter movies are there?
Yeah, there's a lot. It's like
8.
There's 8 movies.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Keep in mind she was only in, I think, 6 of them.
Oh, that changes everything.
Yeah.
11 and a half.
That's correct. How the
no
fuck
way.
Did you get that?
You know my Instagram. You're always requesting dollars. This time, just send them.
Wow. All right. Johnny and Danny owe me $20. I owe 20 to Marty. This is unbelievable. Here we go. Robin Wright.
Can you give me... All right. I need context for all of these random... I already told you. I don't know their name.
She played the wife in fucking House of Cards.
Whew, another show I don't watch. How many seasons of House is there? Is that the show with Kevin Spacey, right?
She's in a lot more stuff than just what you're talking about. Like
Marty seems to know.
I'm on a hot lead.
I'll give you all a hint. It's higher than what you think it probably is.
30 million? I really have no context. I have to phone a friend.
That's incorrect, Danny. I'm so sorry.
I hate this show.
All right, I'll aim really high. Let's say
$950,000.
Oh my God.
$2,000 cash.
Liquid.
Could you imagine if I had that at the clerk? People, they'd respect me.
USD. That was funny shit.
All right, Johnny, your actual answer.
Okay, I was gonna say $450 million.
Not that high.
Oh my right? God,
she's an actor.
You said it was higher than I thought.
I didn't know what you thought.
I was thinking $300 million.
Now you owe me $40 for this wrong answer. Jesus, Marty.
$24.7 million.
This is unbelievable. It was 25, but I'll give it to you. Marty's 2 for 2. Here we go. The Wright brothers. Now, keep in mind, this is adjusted for inflation, Danny.
Oh, yeah.
Keep in mind, they were ahead of their time.
Did they end up, like, commercializing planes, or did they just start planes? I'll give them a strong, like, in today's dollars, $300 million.
That's nowhere near.
Is it a B? Is it a Billy? Did they get a Billy off of? I mean, planes are important, I guess.
No. They didn't invent commercial planes.
You're recording
planes.
This from a plane.
Right. Yeah.
Marty, let's make Johnny go last this time.
I feel like this is an attack on me.
I'm trying to give you more information.
You know what? This is an interesting one. I really do like the Wright brothers. I don't know. Nobody was an inventor back then unless he like had the capital to do it. So they were already probably rich. Didn't need the plane, you know, to be rich, but they just did it anyway. Yeah, I'm going to go with $47.8 billion.
Did you say billion?
Well, you cut me off, so now we'll never know.
It was nowhere near either of the numbers. Johnny?
Is it way lower than both the answers?
I can't give you a solicited hint.
Because I feel like I'm embarrassing myself even further by answering these questions.
Correct.
I'll say 10.5 million.
That's unbelievably close. It was $10.3 million in adjusted for inflation.
I'm back, baby.
Johnny
Let's
fucking
go.
Redeems himself.
And his name is John C.
All right.
I thought you couldn't use copyrighted music.
It's so short and no one's gonna, yeah.
What do you know about being short?
Nothing, because I'm 6'1", Danny.
Bruh, we can still work together if you're a strong 5'9". It's cool.
Gary Wright, singer of Dreamweaver. What's his net worth?
When did this come out?
1975.
I feel like the music business was kind of fucked up back in the day. So maybe, I'm still thinking like maybe 20.
I'm so sorry, Danny. You're down $80.
This just wasn't your game, Danny. You know?
I'm not paying you a fucking penny.
Press the wrong button, but we'll live with it.
You love TikTok, right, Jeff?
What's that?
You love TikTok? Not to change gears, I'm just asking you a question. It seems like this this Pornhub thing is like kind of a meme. Oh, there he goes. He left. he's completely left the frame.
TikTok's great, yeah.
But I'm asking you, this Pornhub thing is like kind of a meme thing right now, so you're just kind of not even really doing your own comedy. You're just pulling other people's bits, or what's the deal here?
Yeah, I mean, what I'll do is I'll get a whole, basically like people will be at Largo, right, in Los Angeles doing stand-up sets, and like they'll be without their book, so I'll see it in the green room, right, and I'll just nab it. I'll grab their notebook and just take the ideas. And 2 weeks later, that's a HeadGum sketch. 3 weeks later, that's a fucking pilot. Yeah, what is comedy if not stealing?
Carlos Mencia. I also feel bad about anyone who's listening to this episode with like on speakers in the home. And then, like, with somebody else, and you know, all these random Pornhub, like, intro videos come on. It's like,
I swear, honey, it's just the HeadGum podcast. You gotta hear this shit. They're so funny.
Some high schooler, like, doing, like, work from home or school from home, and mom hears them.
Here's an executive decision as a future parent, if any of you guys want to have kids. You hear the Pornhub sound, like, in the living room or your kid's bedroom, do you pop in and be like, hey, what are you doing? Or do you just kind of like, because that admits to them that you watch Pornhub.
I sit down and walk them through the video.
Gary Wright, net worth, what do we think? Let's just breeze through this shit.
I'm rattled by that comment. I don't know. I already guessed, so y'all are up.
I would say, well, from what I remember, there's a lot of musicians in the 70s and 80s who got kind of dicked over by their labels in terms of monetary compensation. So I'd say, right?
That's every decade, every label, every musician.
Really? So the problem hasn't stopped?
People come to the show for hot takes, man.
Wow.
I'm anti-label. Pro-famous, I'm Broadway Joe Namath.
Nice.
Dreamweaver.
I would say 2.7 million.
You've only guessed in the several hundred millions and in the low 7 to 6 digits.
That was a good guess, though, Johnny. I liked it. But the actual answer is $3.89 million.
I'm cleaning house today. It was $10 million.
God. How much is it?
$10 million.
Where are you finding? Which site are you using? Because I feel like that one's inaccurate.
CelebrityNetWorth.com.
That's pretty accurate, usually.
Eazy-E.
He's dead.
It's not a Wright brother.
His real name is Eric Wright. And yes, he RIP, but at the time of his death, what was his net worth?
Well, because you said the Wright brothers plus inflation. You didn't say anything about them.
Yeah, because that's a century. This is only like 20 years.
I mean, I think he also had issues with labels. So I would say a million.
What is this show? Johnny, go on.
Because I guessed so low last time, I'm going to say...
Don't do it.
$14. That's my final answer.
Yeah.
What's his real name? What's Eazy-E's real name?
Eric Wright.
That's a cool name.
Say 15 mil.
Dude was worth a quarter bill.
8 million. All right. Frank Lloyd Wright, adjusted for inflation.
Who's that?
Architect. I do know that. That's one older white guy I do know. Big Chicago influence. I don't know, bro. I mean, real estate is booming. It's always been booming. The houses are tight.
I think you're going to get this one.
I don't know, bro. I feel like he had a like smooth like 150. This is the stupidest show I've ever done in my life.
Huh? Dude, so dumb. Let's play a different game. This game sucks. 24.3.
That's correct.
He didn't even finish.
Wow.
He didn't even finish.
It was 24.
This is bullshit.
As long as it's 24, I've been giving leeway of 500,000 here. All right, last one. Roan.
The Barstool correspondent?
Drag him, Johnny. Drag him.
No, Roan was the nom de plume of Tyrone Wright, street artist from Melbourne.
What?
What don't you get? I just fucking spelled it out. Roan was the nom de plume of Tyrone Wright.
What does any of that mean?
Roan, come on.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Did you put tobacco in that pipe in high school? Were you smoking a naked pipe, or was there at least shit in it?
There was loose leaf tobacco.
Okay.
Would you light it, or would you just, did it for smell, or what?
I would light it. I wouldn't inhale. So it was for the taste.
So where were you at with this, like, it was this big-ass pipe in your pocket? Like, what was
it? Yeah, where would you bring it out?
This would have been in a garage.
In a garage?
What's that?
What do you mean?
And other kids are just like doing like cool drugs and stuff. You're like, oh, let me situate and pack and prepare my pipe. And by the time you pack it in, it's like everyone's already high.
Gone.
I actually really appreciate the assumption that there were others present.
Just sneaking from your friends to go smoke a pipe.
Yeah, like
it was me behind a Subaru Forester, absolutely alone, not only physically, but also like kind of spiritually. And
stressed out about pre-algebra or something.
Yeah. Everything I took was pre.
Right.
I never got to the real shit.
Same.
Fine. I'll give you guys all a freebie. Roan's net worth was $1 million. That was a straight M.
Thanks for the freebie.
The slate's clean. You guys don't owe any money, but I am like disappointed in all of
you. You owe me money. I got a lot of them right.
You got two right. You got two right. You got six wrong. So you owe me $80.
No,
Hey, so what are you doing after this? What part of town are you from?
I can barely hear you, dude, but I love what you got there.
Yeah, my roommate, he's actually out of town.
Love your style.
Did you drive? Okay.
I didn't, man. I don't drink and drive.
Sick.
Yeah.
I love this club.
Holy shit, is that Roan?
Yeah. Come here often.
Roan has a table.
Where's the bathroom at?
You gonna smoke that pipe?
Plugs. Let's go down the line. Marty, Johnny, Danny, in that order. What do you have going on? Tell the people about it. Point them to whatever you want or not.
Point them towards what? Sorry, Johnny. I wasn't prepared for this segment. We're doing executive or not still, or what are we doing?
No, I'm forget it. Johnny, what do you have to point the people to? Social media, anything you want to plug?
Something I want to plug is something that I've been working on with my friends for quite some time. It's a board game. It's called Crisis in Space. So in the game, you venture out into the last frontier with a few of your friends and solve crises like hostile aliens or space viruses. So it's been refined and play tested for a few years, and we're going to launch a Kickstarter soon. But you can follow us at crisis_games on Instagram, or visit our site at crisisinspace.com. I'll be running the content for the pre-campaign, so yeah, this is going to be a grand old time.
It's a cool thing. Like, I want to play the game, but the way you just plugged it was so
flawless,
earnest, and also, yeah, rehearsed.
It has to be rehearsed, because I literally, if I stumble on the words and I feel like my friends are going to berate me incessantly.
Got it.
Yeah, this means a lot to them and me, you know.
This is a part of the press run. I feel you.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll link it in the description then. Let me know about the Kickstarter link.
Yeah, for sure.
Danny?
Yeah, shout out to HeadGum Gumball. If you know anybody who wants to join Gumball, decent sized show, come and sign up or hit me up. Follow me. Follow Sellers on all social media. Comedy is back in Chicago, baby. So all kind of cool stuff I'll be producing and or performing on here very, very soon.
Pop-up TV?
Yeah. Pop-up, the pop-up TV every other Friday. If you like sneakers and jokes, or just like hear my voice sometimes, I'm also on
I've never met a lazy person named Willie bit was really good.
Thank you, thank you.
What about you, Jeff? What are you plugging? What do you got going on? I haven't seen you in years.
At Jeff Boyardee on Twitter, at Jeffrey James on Instagram, review, obviously.
Why'd you change your Twitter handle to that?
Before it was at Don't Play No James, which I really didn't like, and I set up when I was a freshman, actually before my freshman year of college, because we needed to start a Twitter account for a class, and I thought that was clever.
So you changed it to a SpaghettiOs reference?
I think that's way funnier.
It's not.
Damn, yeah. Daniel.
We were actually concerned about it.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to go check out BetterHelp.
Don't forget to use one of our coupon codes. Actually, does review have
BetterHelp.com/ what's that? It sponsors this show. Oh. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the HeadGum Podcast. Shout out Johnny, Danny, and Marty for joining us this episode. Hopefully, we'll be able to do one in person someday. And we'll see you guys again next week.
Mm-hmm.
Catch you on the flip. Diesel?
That was a HeadGum Original.